Well, good evening, everyone. It's good. I'm glad that three of you have arrived this evening. That's great. It's really good to see you. My name's Nathan. I'm the pastor here. We're going to get our Bibles open this evening, and then we're going to spend some time responding a bit later in prayer and with song. But we're going to open our Bibles to 1 Thessalonians, which is a letter in the New Testament. 1 Thessalonians, and we're in chapter 4. If you are new to us this evening, one of our habits as a church family is simply to work our way through books of the Bible. There's loads of teaching from the Apostle Paul in this letter, truths we need to hear. So we're just taking our time, going through it a little bit at a time so that we might kind of learn the truth, chew on it a little bit, and that it might help us in our life. So we're this evening in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and we're going to read from verse 13 through to verse 18. I'll just give you a moment to find that. If you don't have a Bible, by the way, someone will bring you one. Please put a hand up. Jim's poised. There you go. Thank you very much. One over here. One over the front here as well. Thanks so much. Great. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13. Brothers, which in our modern context we could rightly translate brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep, or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's own words, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. Let's pray together. God, our Father in heaven, we thank you for the scriptures. We thank you for their goodness, for their richness, for their usefulness as we do life. And Father, we ask this evening that as we come to these words, which are so tantalizingly kind of interesting about the future, that you would help us to learn from them all the things that you intend us to learn. Father, may they firm up our faith in Christ tonight. May they cause us to grip to him a bit tighter as we leave here. And we ask this, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know if you've ever found yourself, particularly in the church context, unsure of what to say to somebody who is grieving, somebody in church that is grieving. And maybe you found yourself on that occasion where you have bought a card to write to someone, and you have that very long moment where your pen just pauses over the card, and you think, well, what can I say? What can I write to a Christian who is grieving? Or maybe you're not the sort of person who writes a card, but maybe it's a text message, and your fingers are poised over your phone, over the keyboard, and you're sitting there thinking, well, what can I say? What could I possibly say to help someone who is grieving? Maybe it's just walking into a room and you see someone across the room, someone who's grieving, someone, a Christian that has died, and you look across the room and you think, I'm going to go and speak to them, but as you're walking there, you think, I just don't know what I'm going to say. I don't know what words to possibly say into that sort of situation. I mean, what can we possibly say to one another and continually be saying to each other as a church that brings comfort or cheer or hope into the hurt of grief? As we wait for the return of our Lord Jesus, and that is what Christians are doing, you may not think that's what you're doing this evening, but the church universally is waiting for the return of our Lord Jesus. As we wait, how are we to support and to comfort one another as people who are also waiting for the Lord Jesus die around us? Well, thankfully, if you've ever encountered something like that, then tonight there is help at hand for us in those words that we can say to one another. Because that, in effect, this little part of this letter, is what these words are before us this evening. These words about Jesus' coming, his return, these words about what happens to believers in our Lord Jesus who have died when Jesus returns, these words are here to bring hope to the hurting. They are words that are to be used to help encourage and comfort those who are grieving. You see, look at verse 18. Just come to the very end of what we read together. Therefore, he says, encourage one another with these words. These things that he has written, these words about the future, these words about Jesus' return, are intended to be words that the church family uses with each other as we face the grief of a Christian we know and love dying. Now, just to be sensitive for a moment, okay, this is worth saying, that doesn't mean that if somebody, a Christian in the church dies, that doesn't mean we launch in and get on the phone immediately and say, right, I'm just going to read you 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. There is some sensitivity and timing. Actually, probably the first response in a church family should be to cry with someone and to hug them, perhaps, if that's appropriate. But actually, we mustn't then ignore, though, that within the process of grieving, and grief is a process, and it's a very long process, and sometimes a lifelong process, that these words are a gift to us from the risen Lord Jesus through the Apostle Paul to help us as we grieve and in that process of grief. See, the danger is we treat this passage like it's great. You know, I mean, some of you maybe saw the passage ahead of tonight and thought, oh, great. Juicy passage about the last things, you know, and then you think it's kind of here to help us answer all the questions about what happens when Jesus comes back. Because I don't know if you're like me, I just want to know. I want to know all the details. I want to get my head around that. But if that was Paul's intention, then he misses out an awful lot of things. Now you see, these words, we've got to understand, this is not here to help us understand kind of everything that happens when Jesus comes back. These words are here because they are a pastor's words to help a church that is grieving, to help a church that is struggling to understand what happens to these people who are waiting for the Lord Jesus but have now died. They are a pastor's words to bring hope into the hurt of grief. See, look at verse 13. I think Timothy, when he came back to Paul, probably said that they were struggling with this issue. And so Paul writes to them, verse 13, brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep or to grieve like the rest of the men who have no hope. You see, these words that we've got before us tonight, sorry, and I'm going to labor this because you've got to understand what they are to understand their usefulness. These words before us tonight are here because Paul wants to kind of get rid of the ignorance or the misunderstandings about what happens to believers who have died. Somebody famously once said that ignorance is bliss. And I think it was accredited to an English poet called Thomas Gray. Now, I think he's probably right on some things. Ignorance is probably bliss. You're much happier if there are certain things you don't know. But it's certainly not true, is it, when it comes to death? Ignorance is not bliss when it comes to the subject of dying. Ignorance, in fact, just adds pain to pain. It just adds grief to grief. Isn't it the reason that when we attend so many funerals in our country, they feel so empty and hopeless? Because people just don't know. Ignorance is not bliss. And Paul writes these words to this baby church to get rid of that ignorance that adds pain to pain as we grieve somebody. It removes hopelessness. And in clearing up this hopelessness, what does he bring into their grief? Well, look again at verse 13. He's aiming to bring hope into their grief. He wants to bring hope into the darkness that so often losing somebody we love to death brings. See, notice very carefully, because I think we often get this wrong as a church, He is not writing, and he's to stop their grief. Do you see that? We know, don't grieve. Come on, you know where they've gone. Now, that's not what he's saying. He says, I'm writing these things to you. Yes, grief is the right response. You're absolutely entitled to grieve. But I'm writing these things to you so that there might just be that chink of light in the darkness of grief. That there might just be that flame of hope in the sadnesses that surround you. So having teed all that up, you still with me? These are a pastor's words, that they are here to help us to know what to say to one another when we grieve the dying of a believer. And so what words are we to say? What words are there here for those who are hurting this evening? What comforts are there perhaps for those of us who grieve? Well, I'd like to put it like this. Hopefully it'll come up on the screen. But the first thing is this. When we grieve, we are to look back to the resurrection. We're to encourage one another to look back to the resurrection. Every Christmas, my mum buys me a novelty pair of socks. Now, I don't know why you want to know that, but she does. Superman socks, Star Wars socks, camper van socks. Every year, without fail, my mum buys me a novelty pair of socks. And so as we approach Christmas 2018, what is my expectation? You're allowed to answer that question. I'm going to get a pair of socks. I'm going to get a pair of novelty socks from my mum based on the past, based on what she has done for the last, I don't know, 10 years or so. I am pretty sure that this year I will get a novelty pair of socks. The past gives me confidence about something in the future. Now, in a similar way, as Christians, we can look back on the past in a way that gives us confidence and hope about the future. See, look at verse 14. We believe that Jesus died and rose again. And so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. We believe that Jesus died and rose again. You believe that? Yeah, we do. And in their grief, these Christians, they could cast their minds back to these central events of our faith. In fact, these are the events upon which we build our whole beliefs, don't we? And they were able to look back to this story and be reminded that Jesus, the one who died on a Roman cross, after 3 days was raised to life, physically, bodily, he was raised. And in the fogginess and in the confusion and the darkness that grief can bring, he reminds them of what we believe. He joins himself with them. What do we believe? That followers of Jesus believe that we pin all our hopes on. And in doing so, you see, as he says, look, we believe Jesus died and rose again, he's not only assuring them of the gospel. The gospel that means that when somebody dies who is trusting in Jesus, that the sting of death has been removed. There is no judgment for those who are in Jesus. He's not only reminding them of that, but he's also reminding them as he said, we believe that Jesus died and rose again. He's reminding them that we really do believe that God can take someone who has died and bring them back to life. It's central to our faith. We've seen it in Jesus. We believe it happened in Jesus. And if God the Father can raise Jesus, who died bodily, back to life bodily, then we can believe that he will do it for us too. You see, look again at verse 14. We believe that Jesus died and rose again. And look how he goes on. And so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. You see the connection? We believe this about the past. We believe that Jesus died, and we believe that he rose again, and so we can believe, it's connected belief, because he did it then, we can be absolutely sure he's going to do it in the future. As we look back to the resurrection, as we encourage one another to look back to the resurrection of Jesus, it brings hope. It brings a little chink of light into the sadness of somebody, a believer we know and love, dying. Because it reminds us that those who enter death, trusting the Lord Jesus, have entered death as those for whom judgment has been removed, whose sins are forgiven because Christ died for our sins. And it reminds us that just as God the Father had the power to raise Jesus from the grave, so he has the power to raise that believer who has died from the grave too. When we grieve, friends, when we grieve a believer, in a sensitive way, we're to remind each other what we believe. Friends, we believe that Jesus died and rose again. Looking back at what we believe in the past gives us certain hope of what is to come. And so when we grieve, if you are grieving, then don't miss the encouragements of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus. Let us point one another back to this great truth in history. Secondly, though, when we grieve, what can we say? Where can we point? Well, we've got to look forward to Jesus' return. Is there a date in your diary that you're looking forward to at the moment? Christmas is very high on the dates in our diary as a family that everyone's starting to look forward to. We're also, most of you will think we're crazy, but we're also getting a puppy. And that is a date that gets talked about a lot in our house at the moment. Do you know, I said no for ages. I'm like, no, 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 no. And then one day a yes came out, and that's it. Everyone's leapt on it, and now we're getting a puppy. So I've broken. But there you go. There's a date in the family diary that most of us are looking forward to. Let the reader understand. But I don't know, what's a date in your diary that you're looking forward to? Maybe it's Christmas, maybe it's a holiday coming up, maybe there's a visit of someone and you're really looking forward to this day. But as followers of Jesus, friends, there is a day that we are looking forward to, that we should be looking forward to. Look at verse 16. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Jesus is coming again. Maybe you doubt that a little bit because it's been so long. Maybe it just gets a bit hazy because it's not on the radar every day. But the scriptures declare it to us. Jesus is coming. He is returning. And this day when he returns will be marked by resurrection. Physical, bodily resurrection. And that includes of those that we grieve. Believers that we grieve. See, several characteristics of this day are mentioned and they're worth digging into because actually they're details, believe it or not, that aren't just there to kind of whet your appetite and think, ooh, that's a bit mysterious. They're details to encourage you. Okay, so here they are, the encouraging. The first of all, the loud command. I think he's talking about the voice of Jesus. The loud voice of Jesus, our Savior, who in John's Gospel, this is what we read about the voice of Jesus. Are you ready? Do not be amazed at this. For a time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice. And they will come out. Those who have done what is good will rise to live, and those who have done what is evil rise to be condemned. It is the voice that will powerfully, loudly call the dead from their graves. For those of you who know John's Gospel, you'll remember the story of Jesus standing at the tomb of Lazarus. And it says there, very deliberately, he stood at the entrance of the tomb and he called out in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. And what does this voice do? It raises Lazarus from his grave. And out Lazarus walks. And so it's little wonder, is it, that the day of Jesus' return is described with a loud voice. As Jesus says to his people, come out. Rise. It's also a day that is marked with the voice of the archangel and a trumpet call. Now you might think, well, what's that? What's going on there? But it's a day when the people of God will be gathered. Now, hey, this is just for some things for you to think about, because I don't think we really know for sure. But if you read in the Bible when trumpets were used, it was nearly always in some way to gather the people of God together. It was nearly always to symbolize a victory of some kind. And here is the picture that the people of God will be gathered together, the dead and the living. They will be gathered into one place. The people of God were gathered for assembly or a victory. But the point is this, look at verse 16, the dead in Christ will rise first. Friends, Jesus is returning, and at his return, he will bring resurrection to all who have died trusting in him. You see, that's the focus here. This passage actually isn't talking about people who don't die trusting in Jesus. The rest of scriptures can talk about that. This passage is talking about those who die. You'll notice this little phrase, in him, in Christ. What that's talking about, friends, is people who have put their hope in him, who have joined themselves to him by faith. Those who by faith in Jesus, in his saving work at the cross, have been forgiven for their sins. They have joined themselves to him. And look at verse 15, we leapt over this verse, but let's look at this. According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. You see, maybe the worry that lay behind this is, well, do those who've died trusting Jesus, do they miss out when Jesus returns and they're not here? Do they somehow lose out? Not at all. See, according to the Lord's own words, those who have died trusting Jesus will be raised, and they will share in the good things that are promised to all God's people, living and dead. See, friends, when we grieve, when there are people around us grieving, when we find ourselves in that long grieving process, we can look forward to Jesus' return. And we're to help one another look forward to Jesus' return. We're to encourage each other and say, Jesus is coming. And he's going to raise all those who are grieving to life. His return will mean resurrection from the dead. And so encourage each other with these words. Sensitively, wisely, but encourage one another. These are God's food for our souls. They are light into our darkness. These truths are our hope. So look back. When we grieve, look back to Jesus' resurrection. Look forward to Jesus' return. And then here's the third thing I want to point out. Look forward to the reunion. Look forward to the reunion. A member of our church here was recounting a very lovely story to me the other day of meeting up with work colleagues from 40 years ago. They shared a meal together. They laughed together. They chatted together. They looked a little bit older, but nonetheless, they were the same people. And it was a very happy reunion from all those years ago. Now, just look with me closely at verse 17, because something similar is going to happen here. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. See, as this day comes, as Jesus returns, there are several reunions that are going to take place. And the first is this. It is between living believers and those who will be raised believers. See, just look at the words carefully in verse 17. We will be caught up together with them. Do you see that little phrase? Together with them. Paul says to these grieving believers, take comfort, my friend. Because there will be a reunion with those who have died trusting in the Lord Jesus. But this reunion, as precious as that will be, together with them, actually is all kind of consumed in a greater union that will take place on that day. See, look with me at verse 17 again. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Now, If you're newer to church, I think if you've been around church, that just sounds a bit weird, doesn't it? Like this kind of Marvel comic scene where everyone kind of floats up into the sky. And actually, do you know what? This is a passage that lots of people debate and lots of Christians think, well, what does this mean? I think there's a lot of symbolism here, but I think there's probably something literal about it as well. The air is kind of the domain of Jesus, as it were. There's the clouds. You think about the ascension when Jesus kind of rises up into the clouds. There's something about it. But through all these things, you know, and people, you guys have heard of something called the rapture? Have you heard of that? Where this kind of, well, that's where this comes from. This word caught up is this idea of being snatched up. And hey, it's really easy as Christians to just get ourselves tied up in knots of what's going to happen here? What's going on? But when we're asking all those questions, can I just say, don't miss the big point, which is that they're going to meet the Lord in the air. And actually, I'm not part of the planning party. I don't mind where it is. I just want to meet him. And I don't care if it's in the air or down here or over there. I just want to meet him. And that's what he's talking about here. The dead who died trusting in Jesus, the living who are trusting in Jesus when he returns, will all reach this same goal together, which is to be with the Lord Jesus forever. That's how it's described. It's a forever reunion with the Savior who gave his life so that we could be forgiven and live with him for all eternity. You see, when we grieve a believer, we can look forward to the reunion. The reunion with those who have died trusting in him. And the reunion ultimately with Jesus, our Savior. So when we grieve, we look back to the resurrection. That's a comfort. Jesus died and rose again. We believe that. And so that gives us hope for the future. We can look forward to Jesus' return. There's this awesome day coming when Jesus is going to come back and those who have died trusting in the Lord Jesus will be raised to life. And we can look forward to the reunion where we will be with them, with the Lord, forever. Friends, if you are here tonight, and I know there are lots in this church family, but if you are here tonight and you are grieving a believer, then can I say to you that these words are for you tonight? For your comfort? They are for your courage. They are for your hope in your grief. And they are to give you that chink of light in the sadnesses you feel. To give you the certainty of what is to come. And if you are here and you know someone who is grieving a believer, And you have that moment where your pen poises over the card or hovers over your phone because you don't know what to say, then with sensitivity of timing and with gentleness of touch, we need to have confidence that these are words that we can, with God's authority, really share with one another to help one another. Because these are a gift from God. We are to, verse 18, encourage one another. Put hope and cheer and hope into one another as we remind one another of these things. And if you're here tonight and this is totally new to you and you're thinking, I have no idea what he's talking about, then can I tell you that what you have just got a little window into tonight is the hope of those who follow the Lord Jesus. Ignorance is not bliss when it comes to death. But put before us tonight in these words is the certain hope of those who are trusting in Jesus, the path from through death and to life. And I simply want to say to you tonight, will you trust the Jesus that this passage talks about? Will you trust him with your death leading to life? Will you become someone who dies in him, trusting him? Because if you do, then you can join those of us here who grieve. Yes, we grieve. Yes, there are tears, but we grieve with this hope. And you can join those of us who can encourage one another with these truths. Friends, shall we pray together? And then we'll sing in response. Why don't we just take a moment's quiet to reflect on these words, particularly to allow their pastoral implications to sink into our hearts and bring us hope. Our Father in heaven, we want to thank you this evening for the comforts of this passage. Father, thank you for the certain hope that the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus gives to us who believe in him. Father, we do believe that Jesus died, and we do believe that he rose again. And so, Father, as we build our hope on those things, please would they help us be certain about the future. And Father, we want to thank you for the promise of Jesus' return. We thank you for the promise of reunion. And Father, we pray, please, that we would pin our hopes on those things and that we would encourage one another with these great truths. Father, as we think of our church family here, we ask, Father, that you would comfort those who grieve the death of believers. Father, please would you come alongside them through the truths of this part of the scriptures and bring that hope, that glimmer of light, that flame of certainty into the sadnesses they feel. And Father, please would you help all of us to encourage each other with these words.